Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of His beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
This is Michelle Reeser-West, and you're listening to the Garden Hotline. We'll be here for the next couple of hours answering any of your garden-related questions, plant questions, Christmas tree questions, whatever you can think of plant-related. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text your questions. Wow, what a week. I think, last week when I was here, it took me longer to drive here and then drive home than I was actually on the air. So that was an interesting day, unexpected day of snow. And, you know, then we had snow again on Tuesday. So it is really, snow has been a huge part of my life, you know, as a professional landscaper and gardener. This has really been, you know, affecting my day to day. And, we just weren't able to do pretty much anything outside this week. So, it was kind of scrambling. Our crews got to stay home and nice and warm and tucked in. We get to take the opportunity to catch up on paperwork and emails and all of that stuff when this happens. So, you know, I do feel more organized and ready, but we are certainly feeling the pressure of being behind and not getting that week of work in here at the end of our season. So if you're one of my clients, I'm really sorry, but we're running behind. But we'll get there. But definitely this change of weather was, you know, a little out of the ordinary for us. I think it's not typically normal for us to have this much snow and cold this early on in the season, but I do like the snow and it's been beautiful to look at, especially since, you know, they get those roads cleared off. I don't have to worry about, you know, my safety, and then I can just enjoy the scenery and all the snow and, again, get to stay inside where it's nice and toasty. So and then, you know, maybe we will get some snow melt this weekend. I'm not sure. I think it's going to, you know, up into the 40s today. Hopefully we can get some of the snow out of here so we can get back out into the gardens next week and continue with, you know, all of our fall tasks. We still have bulbs that we haven't put into the ground, so that would be nice to get that wrapped up. You know, we try to get all of the bulbs in by Thanksgiving. That's typically our deadline. We have a few more clients that we were hoping to get in last week, but again, the snow really put us behind on that. So still have some bulbs in the ground. So if you guys still have that bag of tulips or daffodils, feel free to go ahead and plant those, because we will be doing that next week, hopefully getting our final tulips in the ground. And the other thing that we haven't finished, you know, a lot of people are putting their winter containers out. They've cleaned out their mums and their summer annuals that lasted well into the fall, and like to put winter greens and other natural things into their pots for the winter time. And, you know, we got a good start on that the week before Thanksgiving, and we're again hoping to finish our winter decor containers last week, but didn't get to that. But there's still plenty of time. I actually was out at our show sponsor, Chesterfield Valley Nursery, yesterday with a client, and they still have just so much product that you could put into your winter containers. You know, we're talking about magnolia leaves and juniper and spruce and fir and all of that kind of stuff. You know, taking that out to your pot after you remove those plants, using that soil kind of as a base, and then you can decorate almost like a floral arrangement with these cut stems, and you can decorate your pot. It looks great. We use a lot of winterberry, which has got those bright red holly berries. That looks great. We can even do things with dried lotus pods and other natural elements. Pine cones is a big one that you could put into your container. And you don't have to really do anything to these guys. You know, they're already dead. You cut them off. So you're really just wanting to let them last, like you almost like you would, you know, a dried arrangement. You just leave them out there. They get a little bit of moisture, hopefully, from the potting soil that's still in the pot. And with this cold weather, they can stay looking really good sometimes into February. So it's a great thing to put into those pots, get a little bit of color, a little bit of decoration for the winter months. And, you know, they look great. It's one of my favorite. We do four seasonal changes for our containers. And I think winter containers might be my favorite. They just look so nice and so classy. You can even stick, you know, some little lights in there. There's all, you know, with the LED lights, there's so many little string lights that you can wrap around, little fairy lights that come on a timer that look really great in your pots. So great option to do. It's actually really fun to do with kids, really can get into it, especially if you have plants in your own yard. You can go and kind of forage and look for plants and cuttings from your own yard, from even boxwoods. Like I said, magnolias is a good option. A lot of people have junipers. And if you just take a little snip here and there, you don't even miss it from your existing plants. So it's a great way to kind of interact with kids. If you have a more of a natural area that you can do, you know, I don't recommend a local park. Maybe you can get permission from them. But there's just so many, you know, trees and things around your neighborhood. Maybe your neighbor has something nice. You can ask them if you can take a little snip off of their tree for your winter arrangements. But it's a fun thing to do with kids, and it looks really, really nice. You can do a small arrangement for a tabletop. Maybe it's on your back patio. You know, we do a lot of containers for people's front doors. You don't have to do every single container that you have. Maybe you just do one at the front door and one on the back porch so you can see it as you're looking out. But it's a great, you know, item to add and fun to do. So been doing a lot of that. And, you know, of course, there's poinsettias. It's the time of year for poinsettias. And, you know, they have a huge history that I wasn't really that familiar with. I work with a lot of Hispanic folks, and they're always excited this time of year when we break out the poinsettias, because that's a plant from Mexico. It's a plant that's native to where they're from, and they're always excited to share about it. And, you know, it blooms this time of month or in this time of year. And a lot of people think about these poinsettias and the red parts, or sometimes there's white or speckled or pink ones now. And they often think that those are the flowers of the plant, and it's actually not. The flower itself are these little yellow guys that are, you know, not a huge show, but the red part or the colored part of the plant is actually a modified leaf. It's called a bract, and it's actually not the flower. It just looks really cool. But it's been around since like the Aztec people in Mexico, and I always mess up the name. I'm trying to learn Spanish, but I'm not really doing a great job. But this isn't even Spanish. It's from the Aztec language. The actual word is Quetlashoshi, which is a mouthful. And it's called other things. People call it Christmas star, Christmas flower, Mexican flame leaf. I think lobster flower is one. Crown of the Andes is one. And then Flor de Nochebuena is the Spanish word for it. But the Aztec people used the plant for, you know, ceremonial decorations. They used it to make dyes. They used it for medicinal purposes. This is a euphorbia, and all euphorbia have like a milk sap or a latex that's inside of it. So if you break it off, this is actually the part that is, you know, dangerous for your pets. If your pets eat it, it's the sap that can irritate their tummies. They could be allergic to that. But the sap that's in it is used or was used for a fever reducer, for breathing disorders and digestive problems. So this was a big part of their culture, and actually didn't come into our culture in America till, you know, sometime in the 1800s. There was the U.S. ambassador of Mexico. His name was Poinsett, John Poinsett. He discovered, quote unquote, the plant and started, you know, sending it back to or bringing it back with him to the United States and, you know, giving it to friends and family. And then nurseries and other growers started growing, and it kind of caught on, and they called it the poinsettia after this guy. And they, you know, Congress actually made it. December 12th coming up is the National Poinsettia Day. And people, you know, are kind of wanting to call it something else because it's actually, you know, it's from Mexico, and it's not actually, it wasn't discovered by this guy. So they were trying to call it the name from the Aztecs, which again is a mouthful, Quetlashoshi. I think I got it really good that time. I'm gonna give myself credit for that. But it's one of the most popular plants sold in the U.S., a potted plant, like, period. It is one of, we sell so many of them here. I think I read that it was like 35 million poinsettias sold a year, $250 million in sales. And that's just incredible for a plant that we use at Christmas time. But, you know, I think it's interesting to stop and think about these things that we have in our lives that we don't actually realize where they come from. And when I learn about these kind of things, I think it's important to kind of give a shout out to you know, the where it came from. This is a native plant from Mexico. And, you know, just this simple recognition gives a huge part. It's a huge part of the Aztec and Mexican story. And like I said, my guys are just really proud of their heritage and love to tell us about, you know, this plant that's been a part of their culture for a really long time. So just think that's a neat part of the poinsettia that we don't actually talk about. And a lot of people don't know. But if you guys do have poinsettias, make sure that you ditch that plastic or foil that's on it. Make sure you put it in a sunny spot. You don't actually have to put it in another pot. Most people only keep it around for a few weeks or a month, so you don't need to repot it. They like it, you know, the temperatures of your house, typically 60, 70 degrees is like their zone. And keep them watered, but they don't want to be super wet, but they really, really, really don't want to dry out. And they'll start telling you when they need a drink, they start getting a little droopy. But don't let them dry out for too long, because they aren't great at bouncing back. They'll drop all those leaves and you'll be sad about it. But but they're beautiful. And there's all different kinds now. Like I said, there's pink ones, there's green ones, there's orange and yellow and like a purpley one, and some with speckles and spots and all that good stuff. So a lot of cool poinsettias out there. A lot of great local growers that are growing these things. So I know it's easy to grab one at the grocery store, wherever, but think about the local growers. And, we'll take a break. We'll talk about more. 314-436-7900. It's KMOX 1041. We are back to the Garden Hotline. I'm your host, Michelle Reeser-West. And the director of horticulture here in St. Louis. We are going to go straight to the phone lines, get to our caller. Chris, you are on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, good morning. I purchased a kind of semi-mature tree late in the season last year, and I had not determined its best planting position, so I have it sitting on the ground, above ground right now. And it hit me that I need to do something to protect that base or that root system until the spring, when I think I come up with a couple ideas of where to plant it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's a bit cold right now and all that. So what I'm looking for, I have available to me on hand some mulch that are chopped up trees that I get up at the Washington Recycle Center here. I also have Minus Rock. I have 2-inch clean. I have a lot of different opportunities, and I'm willing to go buy something else, whatever I need to do to hopefully help that through. The other question I had is, would it be this? I've got it in a spot pretty near where I think I'm going to plant it right now, but I could also just pick it up and take it up by the house and protect it really well through the winter. So I'm looking to see what the best way to handle this is to get me through this winter.
Why not plant it? You don't want to plant it?
Well, I'm concerned because the place I'm probably going to plant it is, it's on a lake shore, and I think the ground is so frozen right now that it may be really hard to get it into that spot. And then I think it also, that lake shore is exposed to really, really strong western winds and, well, western and southern winds. So I don't want to take a chance that I put it in and then it just gets knocked around a lot. So that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Are you planning it? You said you were storing it currently near the spot where you're going to plant it?
Yeah, right now it's actually, I bought another one like this and already planted it. And I planted it next to a dying cedar tree, and I left the cedar tree intact through a year, and now I'm cutting it down over time and letting the sun really get at that one and get it growing to replace that cedar. And this one won't have any protection at all.
Sure. Yeah,
where it's going to go, you know, kind of as it grows up. So that's just the way I thought about it. And that one survived really well right in that spot. Actually, I think I let it sit there for the other one sit there for a while and then put it in the ground and all that. So, but if planting is viable in it will be a pretty exposed space.
Sure.
So I just wanted to make sure that I could help this thing along its best, and then it can start really going. It's a tulip poplar that I have one on my property that probably is about, I'm guessing it's at least 45 or 50 foot high and wider.
Beautiful.
So.
Yeah. So I still would think my first recommendation, if you can, if the ground thaws out a bit, and it's actually not as frozen as we think it is. It's only the first couple of inches are frozen, because we were so warm for so long into the fall, and we've really just in the last, you know, several weeks gotten into, you know, these really consistent overnight freezing temperatures. We know we do have a lot of snow on the ground and all of that good stuff, so it is contributing to the ground being frozen. I suspect you will have an opportunity here in the next week or two where that ground is not going to be frozen, and you might have the opportunity to plant it. And I know that might sound counterintuitive, but actually planting those roots in the soil and getting it super stable where it's going to be is actually healthier for it, and will potentially have less damage to the root ball, to everything, if you get it securely planted into the ground. If it's super exposed by wind, you might want to put a stake on it to help that out. But number one option for me would be to plant it. If that is not an option, I would say that mulch is probably the best thing. There are certainly a lot of growers in nursery that use that 1-inch clean around the base of the trees. So if you had enough, you could use that. You know, we're really wanting to protect it from the winter temperatures and keep it stable. You know, so I personally think that just putting that mulch around it would be enough, and then making sure that it's secure. So if it's in a windy situation, we get high winds, that it's not flopping over and having potential to, you know, cause damage to that root ball, because we want that root ball to stay intact. And if it's rolling around or you know, in the wind a lot, it could break up that root ball, which we don't want. And, you know, obviously if it falls over, it could break some branches. So so I think the mulch is probably the best option if you're going to keep it above ground. And just make sure, like I said, everything is secure, because they can be a little top heavy and a little, you know, unstable in some weather.
Okay, great. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, no problem, Chris. Thanks for the call. If you guys have a call, you can give us a call, 314-436-7900. That is the number for text as well. If you're not into calling in, you can always send us a text. We're going to take a quick break and then get back to your questions on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 KMOX. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and the director of horticulture at Pointer Landscape. If you guys have any garden questions, I'll be here answering them for the next hour and a half. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text with your questions that I will happily try to answer. So give us a call. You know, we talked about poinsettias a little while ago, but the other thing that, you know, a lot of people are doing right now or have already done is to get their live Christmas tree. I have not done mine yet, and that's on my plan this weekend. I am a live Christmas tree kind of girl. I don't have a fake tree. No insult to those who do. I just love having, it's one of my favorite parts of Christmas is having that tree, and going, you know, the experience of going to pick it out. We always used to go, when I lived in South City, we would go to the Bayer's Garden Center there on Hampton, and that they aren't there anymore. There is the garden shop is there now, and I don't think they're doing Christmas trees this year, but they do have a lot of other plants available. But, you know, people always have this, you know, tradition of where they go to get their tree. It seems like, you know, if you get a live tree, you go to the same place. So I live out in St. Charles County now, so we always go to Daniel's and pick out a tree. And, you know, we started going there with my nieces and nephews. And one of the reasons they liked going there was that they put a name on every tree. So every tree has a little name tag on it. It's kind of a cute little thing that the kids were into. So we'll probably head out there this weekend. I was also thinking about doing, you know, I always threaten to do a tree in a pot, like do an evergreen in a container and buy that. And then after Christmas, go out and plant it in my yard. It's really with the cost of Christmas trees these days, it's almost, you know, cheaper or the same price to go and buy a live tree and plant it. So I might try that this year. We have Millie on the line. Millie, go ahead with your question.
Yes. I'd like to know, when is the best time to trim a burning bush?
Burning bush are really, you know, they don't really care when they're pruned. I like to do it a couple times a year. So for me, what I like to do is through the winter time and the dormant, if I need to do a heavy pruning where I want to reduce the size, maybe it's gotten really leggy or overgrown. So I would do it in like a February, March timeframe, depending on weather. Can you do it now? Absolutely. It's not going to hurt anything to go out there and do it now. I would try to not do it on a day where it's frozen. You know, hopefully that temperatures are above freezing, but
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think all through the winter is fine. And then another opportunity for pruning, this is more for when you're shaping or you're just doing maintenance pruning on these guys, is I like to, in the spring, they all start leafing out. And then once they put on that big push of new growth, then I go in, that growth slows a little bit. Then I go in and do my shearing or my my shaping of that new growth to keep it in check. And then you might not have to do that again until fall. You know, it typically doesn't grow too much over the summer. And then there's another flush of growth sometimes in the fall. So you might have to go in there and do, you know, just the little wild hairs and a light pruning and, you know, maybe September timeframe. But if you're talking about a big cutback, I think the most perfect time is probably February, March, late February, early March.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Millie.
Okay.
That was a great question. You know, I sometimes am a plant hater for no reason. But I do want to encourage you to think about not planting. I know a lot of people have their burning bushes in the yard, and I'm not suggesting go out and get rid of them. But, and I am suggesting that a little bit too. So these burning bush, we've stopped planting because we're seeing that they're becoming invasive in our woodlands. If you're especially, you know, a few weeks ago, we could be driving down the woodlands and look over. Fall's a great time to identify a lot of invasives because of this one, especially because of its bright red foliage, which is why it's called a burning bush. And, you know, their fall color is spectacular. I'll give you guys that. But we are noticing that it's becoming invasive from the berries. The birds eat them and then carry them off into the woodlands. Not as big of a problem yet as like honeysuckle, but it is a problem. So, you know, I would encourage you to not plant those. Again, if you already have them, you can think about a long-term solution of getting rid of them. I know this is hard to hear for a lot of people because people love their burning bushes. They love them because they're beautiful in the fall for a few weeks. But there are some great, you know, alternatives. Maybe not as showy with the fall color, but I have to say, you know, something like a serviceberry, not exactly the same, but it's a, you know, that size frame is similar. It doesn't love to be sheared like those burning bushes do, but there's also, but that one has a great fall color, beautiful fall color. But there are so many viburnums out there that are similar to, you know, the size and shape of the burning bush. They have a way better flower show because burning bush doesn't really have a flower show to speak of at all. But a lot of our viburnums are very showy, very fragrant with their flowers. And a lot of them can take that shearing. You know, a lot of people like to use that burning bush for privacy, and they'll plant them in a hedge and then hedge them, you know, very nice and tidy. And so if that's what you're looking for, there are, you know, viburnums that can certainly handle that. Most viburnums don't have a huge fall color, but you know, you get this bloom and the fragrance on so many of them that are better. And there's actually some that have these berries on them that are quite beautiful. Blue, some of them have blue. Those are the ones I like. You can use those for cut flower arrangements, and they just look beautiful at the end of the summer and fall. So just some other options to keep in mind with that burning bush, just moving forward to try to, you know, try to keep these invasive plants out of our garden so they're not getting into our woods. It's, you know, just something to think about. So again, calls, would love them, 314-436-7900. That is the number to call with your questions. Come on, text, call. I'm ready for you. We're going to take a quick break and then be back. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host, and I'm also the Director of Horticulture here in St. Louis for Pointer Landscape. I am here for another hour or so answering all of your garden-related questions. The number to call and talk to me, 314-436-7900. If you don't want to call and talk to me, my feelings won't be hurt, but you should text that number. And I'll try to answer your questions that way. We actually did get a text in. It's a question about early spring fertilizer. And I like that we're already thinking about early spring. I am here for that. I was waiting all summer for it to cool down. And now winter's here and I'm already hoping for spring. But this question says, for small trees, they are specifically wondering about, should there be spring fertilization? It says, I've seen gardening advice to drill holes around the drip line with fertilizer. Is this better than on the surface? So I like this question a lot. And here's why. You know, I think a lot of people are always wondering, should they fertilize their plants? Should they do it at time of planting? Should they do it? You know, when should they do it? And for me, I am not a huge fertilizer person. Number one, it costs a lot. I don't know if you guys have seen the cost of fertilizer lately. And number two, it should be number one. It's not always necessary. So for me, before I even plant something, I try to do a soil test. I know what you're thinking, you know, like, do I really need to do that? And I think the answer is yes. So especially if you're new to a property, you haven't dug a lot of holes before, every 2-3 years, do a soil test. They're super easy. Dig a hole, take it up to the university extension office, and, you know, then you'll know for sure, do you need fertilizer? So, and then the other reason why I will fertilize from time to time is if there's like no apparent reason why a plant is struggling. You know, if I can't figure out a problem and make the correction to whatever that stressor is, then sometimes I'll just give it, a little bit of fertilizer or root stimulator or something in order to try to, you know, revive it a bit. So as far as going back to planting and then now some spring fertilization, if you know that you have soil that's not ideal, if you know you have some, you know, in St. Louis, we have a lot of clay soil, which can really affect our plants, especially when they're not rooted in, when they're young and they aren't established. It's harder for them to get established in that clay soil. So for the texter, you know, this is a question that I'm really not sure if you should even need that fertilizer. But if you do, if you want to use it, I would recommend a gentler type of fertilizer. So sometimes when we're planting, especially if we see, we're in heavily compacted soil or we have a lot of clay or we're in construction, you know, we often do a product called Turfis, which is a soil additive. It just helps with drainage and it helps kind of break up that that clay. It gives some air pockets in that soil to help with drainage. So that's an option. The other thing that we use a lot of is a product called Roots. It's Healthy Start Advanced MRT is the name of the product. There's other versions of this. I think that there's one, you know, I recommend Hollytone a lot. There's a Biotone, which is a similar product to the one that we use. This stuff is available readily in most of our garden centers. I see it around all the time. But the thing that this is really formulated for new plantings. It's kind of like a starter. But the thing I like about it is that it has this mycorrhizal fungi in it, which really help with getting rooted in, really helps with that root production, which is what we want, especially with new plants. So in the spring, if you want to do a little bit of fertilization, you know, surface fertilization is fine. I think if you do have some clay soil, we often will take an auger, you know, like a 2-inch auger bit out and do what we call, it's called vertical mulching. And you drill a hole around that root line or around the drip line of your tree, and you layer in mulch, good soil, and whatever fertilizer you're using. We tend to mix this Roots. It's called, again, Roots Healthy Start Advanced MRT. They're not paying me to say that. I just like the product. And then we kind of mix that in maybe with a little bit of turfus, and we kind of layer in. And, you know, on a small tree, you're probably only going to need to drill maybe 4 or 5 holes. But that's how I like to do it, especially on my new trees. I'm doing this, you know, right before bud break, just to give them a little bit of energy, but absolutely not necessary on most trees. If your tree, if you have great soil, if you, maybe it's not great soil, if you have average soil, you probably aren't going to need a fertilizer. So I would just see if it needs it. Wait until, you know, that bud break, see if, or look at the stems and see if there's buds on it, see if it's struggling before you do that. Might not need it. And we want to pick plants. Think about that when you're picking plants and what you want to use. Pick a plant that's right for the place. We always say right plant for the right place. So if you pick the right plant, then you won't have to do all of these additions or fertilizers or things like that. So I hope that helps. It wasn't a direct answer, but you can do it in the spring. You can even fertilize now. We're fertilizing a lot of things now, really just azaleas and evergreens. We're going to go to the phone, take a quick call before our break. We're going to go to Jeff. Jeff, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, good morning. Two questions for you. One, I've got some mulched areas that have dozens of volunteers in them, and my plant finder says that they are white ash trees. Should I just cut them down?
Yes.
Because they won't survive?
Yep. Next question. They will survive. They're just not great. Ash trees have a insect problem here that will ultimately kill them. They're not great trees or weed trees, so I would remove them.
Yep. Okay. And then the second question is, I've got a maple tree in my front yard that a buck has decided to use as his marking spot, and he is just really torn up the bark, which I've protected it with some corrugated pipe. I mean, it's a fairly significant tree. The pipe barely fit. It doesn't really fit around it. I cut a slot in it and put it around, you know, that black pipe that you use for drain purposes. So I put that on there. I was just going to leave that on there through the winter or through the next few months while he's out there and then pull it off.
Yep.
Would that make sense?
It does. Absolutely. And so for those of you out there, the deer, you know, we talked about this a lot earlier in the year, the deer, put on their antlers, and the male deer love to rub. First they're rubbing off the fuzzy parts of their antlers, and they're kind of, spreading their scent on our little baby trees. And it really can do a lot of damage to trees that are, you know, 4, maybe even 5 inches or less in diameter, and they just come with their antlers and destroy the outer bark of our tree. So what we do recommend is doing some kind of corrugated pipe or something like that. And I like to do it from like early October till Easter, and then take it off. So, but definitely leave it on there. We got to protect it. Thanks for that question. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get to the questions on the line. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, your host and director of horticulture for Pointer Landscape. I got one more hour left with you guys, so if you have any questions that you want to call or text about, 314-436-7900 is the number to call. And before we go to our first caller, I just want to mention, if you guys missed the first hour or, you know, want to catch up on listening to previous shows, you guys can always go to the Odyssey app or I know Apple Podcasts, things like that. You can go and listen to previous shows or go check it out on KMOX.com. But, you know, you guys know you want to listen to me all week long. I think that it might be a good thing to do. But we're going to go talk to Jim now. Jim, thanks for being patient. You're on the air.
Sure. Hey, Michelle, two quick questions. I spoke with you earlier this year in the spring about I have several boxwoods that they've got huge. They were about 5.5 feet tall, and I wanted to cut them back, and but I didn't want to take too much off to maybe stress the plant. So I cut about 2 feet off of them. So they're about 3 foot tall now, and actually they did very well. They all survived, and they're filling out. But now I wish I would have cut them a little bit shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So could I take, like, I don't mean now, but I guess maybe in the spring, another, like, 1.5 feet off of those plants?
Yeah, I think you would be okay. You know, how big were they? How much you said? How much did you take off when you did that hard?
Yeah, so they were about 5. They're like 30 years old, and They were about 5 foot tall.
And you took 2 feet off.
Yeah,
that's a big cutback. So yeah, okay. I would be so if you say okay. So if they were doing well this year, they were filling in. They didn't really show that much of a sign of struggle. Then I would go, if you want to do another foot, I would start with 6 inches. And then in the fall next year, do your regular pruning to keep it that size. And then in the fall of next year, do your other 6 inches. We just don't want to stress this guy. These are older plants. So sometimes Our new plants get super stressed, and sometimes our older plants can get super stressed when we're doing, you know, drastic haircuts. You could go out there and do it, and it might be fine, right? But if you just want to be a little bit cautious about it, you know, that would probably be a better approach. And again, I'm not sure if we talked about it. If you didn't do fall fertilization, you could still probably do some now on those boxwoods would help them out. If not, just do it in the spring before they break dormancy. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I like to use Hollytone on boxwoods. And you know, just read the label. There's a fall rate and a spring rate, so it's less in the fall. We're not trying to like push growth. We're just trying to send some energy down into the roots. So it's a smaller rate for the fall, and then again in the spring, and that's really going to help them, you know, push out that new growth in the spring and be a little bit healthier. And then, you know, opening these guys up and pruning them down is really, you know, it shocks them for a while. It shocks you for a while because they don't necessarily look that great. You know, you see some exposed wood, but ultimately getting that light penetrating to the inner parts of the branches will be healthier. Letting some airflow get through there will allow it to have fewer pest and disease problems. So I think ultimately you're going to be fine, but I would be cautious at this point. I'm always less cautious when that first time you're going out there, and then additional prunings, just be maybe a little bit more cautious because it's not at 100%. When you did that first 2 foot cut, it was at hopefully 100%, and now it's still recovering. So just be gentle, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. And one last real quick question. I don't know if you know anything about bone size. But I have a small tree, and any idea how it's just in the garage right now, kind of with some leaves around it and stuff. Any idea how often you think once a month to water that is good enough?
Probably. I don't know a ton about bonsai, but it's actually really interesting that you said that because I was up at Timberwind's nursery a few weeks ago, and they have so many cute little bonsai things you can, you know, little seedlings of all kinds of crazy different trees. I've never seen that that small and cool, but they do a lot of stuff with Bonsai. And I know that there's a Bonsai group here in St. Louis that does a lot. There's a lot of information probably on their website. But I did ask the guy from Timberwinds if they would come on and talk to us about that, because it's something I know very little about. But I do know when you are trying to overwinter things, you're not going to need to water it. You want to avoid any kind of root rot or fungal issues. I assume you have it in some pretty good well-draining soil. I would just keep your eye on it. You might check it more frequently than that just to make sure, because you don't want it to fully dry out. So check it more often, but likely, probably once a month will be fine.
Okay, great. And you're doing a great job. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for saying that, and thanks for your call. All right. Up next, we're going to go straight to Sherry. Sherry, you're on the line.
Hi, Michelle. I wanted to find out about raspberry bushes. I can't Google on my phone. Normally, I pull up stuff that way. But I wanted to see if it's good for our zone and what kind of soil do you need to put it in. And, well, anything you can tell me about raspberry bushes, because I really want to get one in.
Oh, that's great. I have just planted... I should start over. I tried to plant raspberry bushes this past spring, and I ordered them online from Stark Brothers Nursery, who have great products. They're a Missouri company and have so much fruit trees, nut trees, things like that. And so I was like, I'm going to do some raspberries, because my neighbors have a whole bunch of raspberry plants and they're so healthy. And it doesn't seem like they're doing a ton out there to take care of them. So I was like, oh, I've totally got this. So I order the raspberry plants off of the internet, and they come bare root, and they give exceptional instructions on how to plant these things. And care for them. And then I don't know if I just didn't water them enough, which is probably likely. But mine died. I don't have any. I still don't have any raspberries. But I don't think so. Here's the thing about raspberries. I think these are one of the more easy plants to grow and care for as far as fruits go. I know that blueberries are super difficult and they want really acidic soil. And are kind of finicky here and hard to keep alive. So I'm definitely not going to try those. But raspberries tend to be an easier one to grow, along with blackberries are also easy. They don't really need any specific kind of root or soil amendments. They typically do well in our Missouri soil. I would definitely add some compost to it, some good organic matter. But it's a great plant and relatively low maintenance. Once a year, you're going to need to go out there and trim some of the canes off and do a little bit of pruning. But they do very well here for us in Missouri.
Okay. When do you put them in?
I would do it in the spring. We're a little late for it now. And a lot of local growers, a lot of local nurseries and garden centers do a great job of getting this kind of these little fruit bushes in the spring. So probably April timeframe would be great, even into May.
Mm-hmm. And is this one of those plants where it needs more than one around it, or you can just plant it solo?
So you can plant it solo. I think it does better. There's self-pollinating forms of this one, but make sure that's what you get. There's, like I said, some of them do need other plants, but there are cultivars that are self-pollinating. So if you're going to get one, just make sure that's what it is.
Self-pollinating.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
This is great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. Hope you have a good day.
I just did. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Guys, I think we need to take a quick break, so we'll continue answering all of your gardening questions after the break. 314-436-7900. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of network speed. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Jamming out, I don't even want to stop, but this is the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am your host and director of horticulture at Pointer Landscape. Here talking about gardening, talking about plants, 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text if you want to join the conversation. Got a text a little while ago. It's a great question, I think especially appropriate this time of year, but it says that we've had some extensive landscaping done, including new retaining walls, removal of a large patio in the backyard. And the question is basically, is this a decent time of year to contact companies for estimates? I know with the snow on the ground, it's difficult to assess the landscape and to take measurements. But I believe at some point the snow will melt and we can have some companies come out and then select our contractor to start work as soon as the weather is viable. Yes, is my answer to that question. Right now is a great time. You know, we have a design build department, even our maintenance department right now. We are gearing up for the winter. We do a ton of design work. We do a ton of our estimating. We do renewals for our contracts. We're planning now for next spring. So I think the process of getting a design and doing like some kind of a landscape project takes time. It, you know, especially if you're working with a company that's thoughtful, you know, they are going to need to come out and take measurements and maybe they need to shoot grades. And then for them to come up with a thoughtful design that goes with your vision and, you know, our area and all of the things, you know, that process is not a short process. It's, you know, so doing it now would make you more likely to have this done in the spring when things warm up, at least if there's plantings. You know, I know that there's a lot of companies and ourselves at Pointer included, we work all through the winter doing retaining walls and patios and carpentry projects, you know, fewer things with plantings and things like that. But right now is a perfect time for meeting with potential companies. So 100% make the call, get an appointment scheduled. You know, we don't always want to, as a homeowner, like I don't necessarily always want to be walking around my yard and talking about it, you know, with a contractor, but I think it's a perfect time for this kind of work. So 100% give them a call. And speaking of calls, we're going to go to our phone lines and chat with Donna. Donna, go ahead with your question.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. My question is very simple. I have two huge chrysanthemums, and I want to know if it's too late to put them in the ground?
Yes. For sure. So, yeah.
Okay.
So they're probably, I mean, you're just wanting to kind of overwinter them and have them grow next year. You could try it. So it is, let's go back. I think gardening is a big old science experiment. So it is, there's snow on the ground, it's frozen, all of that good stuff, but there's a chance. So if you already have these plants, you know, they don't necessarily overwinter that great in your garage or anywhere else. So why not?
Right.
I think you go ahead and try it. I think you put them in the ground, you put some mulch around it, cut off the tops, put some mulch around the root ball once you get it planted. And, you know, if it comes back next year, great. If it doesn't, you probably would have thrown it away anyway.
Okay, great. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
good
you.
Luck. Okay, we are going to go to our next caller. Rob is on the line. Rob, go ahead with your question.
Good morning. You probably addressed this a little bit on a previous call, but the company that does my annual landscape trimming, they do that in December, and I know you recommend doing it in late winter. I brought it up with them last year. They seemed a bit sensitive when I asked the question, saying they've done it for years. And I just wonder if that's a problem, that they do it that early in winter.
What are they doing for you?
Trimming my landscape, my plants. I've got, you know, boxwoods and a bunch of just my home landscaping.
Sure. Yeah, so different plants need different things. And a lot of times when we're pruning not only for the health of the plant or appearance, but we're pruning for bloom time and things like that. But we want to keep our plants healthy and we want to keep them blooming. So there are some plants that could be fine if you prune them now, like hydrangea, for example. A lot of people don't want to look at those blooms all year or all winter, so they want us to go ahead and prune back those hydrangeas now. Some of our clients don't, and horticulturally speaking, you could do those at any time of the year. So depending on the plant, this is really going to be my answer, but something like a boxwood, we certainly should not be pruning those. Right now you could prune them and it wouldn't be a problem, but in our time of like September into October, especially when we had this weather that extended, that warmer weather that extended further into fall, it's not a great time to prune something like a boxwood, because when you prune something, you're asking it to make more. So if the plant hasn't gone dormant yet in the fall and you give it a haircut, then that's going to promote new growth. And then that growth won't be hardened off. So then if we get a freeze because we're in October or November, then that new growth that hasn't had time to harden off can die and then open up your plant to pest and disease issues. So likely won't kill your plants whenever you do some fall pruning. And a lot of times there is no harm at all. It's just a lot of times it's bloom related, it's health related. And some things you should just wait until, you know, till the plant is dormant or until right after it blooms. So it just depends on what kind of plant you have is I guess my answer for you, Rob.
Well, so this is a December pruning, not fall.
Sure.
I've got laropes, I've got hydrangeas, I've got junipers, and the trimming is more for appearance than it is for other things.
Yeah, and so liriope, again, is one of those plants. Can you cut it back now? Sure. But for me, it you know, it stays green most of the winter, so it's something to look at. And then we typically prune those in the spring right before it starts new growth. Again, we talked about hydrangeas. Some of the types of hydrangeas can be pruned right now with no problem. Some of them you should wait until after they flower. So, you know, it just depends on what you're going for. If you want a tidy look for the winter, then there are certainly some plants that you can go ahead and cut back for a tidier appearance, and it doesn't hurt them horticulturally. But some things you might be affecting the health and the flower for next year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Guys, there's like so many ways of gardening. It's one of the things that I like about talking to you guys and even having your calls come back to me, you know, is because gardeners share information or constantly asking information. And there's you know, 1,000 ways to do something. So, you know, we're constantly learning and doing things, and one company might do things one way and one company might do things another. But for me, just doing things, you know, trying to do things at an appropriate time. And I personally like to leave things up over the winter as much as possible to, you know, to have something to look at and to also give our critters some place to have a habitat or overwinter in some instances. But certainly our most important thing is the health of our plants. And for me, blooming, I want to make sure my bloom is at the is not affected by any type of pruning. So I have another text question from Barb in Webster Groves. She says she has a bunch of bulbs that she ordered from Brightside St. Louis and she hasn't been able to plant them. Is it too late? Was thinking about ordering a plant auger to help with the process. So again, we talked at the top of the show that I have clients, we have not finished putting bulbs in the ground. So as soon as this snow melts and we're able to get back out there, we're going to try to finish planting bulbs next week. Typically, we try to get them done by Thanksgiving timeframe, but bulbs are forgiving as long as the soil is not frozen. Really, you can get it done till the end of the year, but I would try to do it as soon as possible. I love that you got them from Brightside St. Louis. If you guys are not familiar with that organization, they are in the city and they do so much for the city. They do a lot of cleaning up of areas. They do graffiti removal. They have recycling programs. They have a beautiful demonstration garden off of King's Highway with art and different types of plantings. But one of the ways they do raise money for their organization is a fall sale of daffodil bulbs. That's one of the things they do is plant daffodils all over and then they sell their bulbs. I believe their daffodil bulb sales are closed for the year, but it's a great organization. If you're thinking about giving before the end of the year, this is definitely one that you should think about. But it's a great program. BrightsideSTL.org is their website, and they are on Twitter and Instagram and all of those places at BrightsideSTL. But if you're not familiar, get familiar with them. Great local organization and a great question about bulbs. Get out there next week and finish those guys. I'll be out there joining you. We're going to take a quick break. You guys can call us with your questions, 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape and your resident garden nerd. If you guys want to call and chat with me, 314-436-7900 is the number to call or text with your questions. I got a question from the text line. It says, I have two ornamental plum trees that we planted over 30 years ago, one on each side of the house. They are dying. The house faces northeast and the trees are in full sun. The trees were planted too close to the house originally. What would you suggest to replace those trees? And the replacement, she says, or they say, do not have to be trees. They could be something that's deciduous and has some popping color to accent the corners. So I am not surprised to hear that your ornamental plums are dying after 30 years. That's actually seems like a incredibly long time for that type of plant. We often see these types of ornamental plums and cherries and crab apples aren't always long-term trees. They do get, you know, some pest and disease issues. So 30 years for that type of tree is great. I also like the note in here that they were planted too close to the house originally. That is a chronic problem that we see all the time. Is just, you know, you get these trees and shrubs and they're so small whenever you get them and we plop them just a few feet from the foundation or from the side of our houses. And, you know, within a few years, these guys are just crowding out your house and are just too close and you have to prune them. And then they don't look good over time because they, you know, because you're weirdly pruning them or they get pest and disease issues from all of that pruning. So picking a tree that is an appropriate size for that space And, you know, thinking about that mature size of the tree and then planting on center, we call it. We want to plant that, you know, whatever the appropriate distance is from the center of the tree back to your house and giving some room. So if you have a mature tree that gets, you know, 20 feet wide, you want to make sure you're probably at least 10 feet, but more like, I don't know, 12 feet from the side of the house so that you're giving it plenty of room and you're not having to constantly prune it to keep it in the right size and shape. So that's a great point to make there in that text. And then as far as replacement trees go, you know, there's a lot of options for flowering deciduous trees and shrubs in the full sun. So, you know, you can do maybe a more obvious choice might be like a dogwood or a redbud. I like the serviceberry. I know I talk about it all the time, but it's one of my favorite shrubs / trees. You can get them in a multi-stem form. You can get them in a single stem form. But they are one of the earliest plants that pop out this white, beautiful spring flower. And then the flower turns into these delicious, edible berries. And both humans and birds and wildlife love to eat those berries. And then in the fall, it has just amazing fall color. And they're low maintenance. They don't need to be pruned unless you're trying to keep them in a particular shape. They don't need a lot of pruning, but they're great. They're hardworking plants. They don't need to be, once established, they don't need a lot of irrigation. So that's a great one. That would probably be my number one choice for you. But you know, you could do, viburnum. We talked about earlier in the show, there's some great viburnums that smell nice that, aren't necessarily a tree, but they get, you know, all different shapes and sizes of the shrubs. And you know, you can get some of the types have a beautiful smell along with their beautiful flowers. Korean spice viburnum is a really one of the better smelling ones in my opinion, but that's a great option for a space like that. But you know, so many options. You were taking out an ornamental plum. There is a native cherry that you could put in its place, but so many great options for the sun. Just really the biggest recommendation is, like you said in the text, is make sure you get that planted far enough away from the house that it won't be a problem. Gonna go next to the phone lines and talk to Jeff. Jeff, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for your service. Follow up on that question, we have an ornamental peach tree on the side that we really like, but you do have to plant it away from the
house. Yeah.
My question is on geraniums. My wife and I usually take our hanging baskets and we trim them back and we put them in the basement under grow lights for the winter and then bring them out and repot them, and they do really great. This year, we took them out of the soil and we put them, trimmed them back and put them in paper sacks and put them in the basement. And then, you know, we're going to spritz them every once in a while. Have you had any experience doing that or how it works?
I have to say, I have not done a lot. I say this almost every show that I am a lazy gardener. So I don't do a lot of overwintering of plants at my house. I also have a, you know, people in my house that don't necessarily like it when I, you know, bombard them with everything coming back inside. But I have heard of people doing this to great success. So it's kind of like any other tuber or bulb that people pull out of the ground and store in these bags. It's got to stay cool. You want it to stay dark so it's not trying to push out growth. And again, you know, like maybe spritzing them, we want to make sure that they don't dry out, but keeping them wet is going to encourage them to have a, like a rot, like a root rot situation. And we don't want that, as well. So I think it's, you know, definitely worth a try. And it is 100% something that people do all the time. So I think that, that it's good. And making sure, you know, we want to keep it dark, but also letting, you know, if you can keep that bag open a little bit or maybe poke a couple of holes in it so that it can have some air circulation in there, that might help with any kind of fungal issues that might happen in the bag.
All right, great. Thanks for your service and have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Call us in the spring and let us know how it turned out for you.
All right, will do.
Thanks so much. Man, we've had a lot of good calls today. We have one more segment left. We can do a little speed round when we come back from the break. 314-436-7900. Calling or texting, either way, this is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the final segment of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscape, and I am here for the next few minutes answering any questions you might have. 314-436-7900 to text or call. See if we can get you in before the end of the show. We do have a caller on the line, so we're going to go straight to it. Anne, go ahead with your question.
I have a beautiful pot of pansies. It's probably got 12 individual plants in there. I've brought it inside to an unheated porch. Do you think I have any chance of that surviving through the winter?
Yeah,
right,
I think
now the temperature is 45 on the porch today.
Sure. So one of the things I like about pansies is they have this great ability to kind of make it through. You know, often I won't clean out my pots all the way in the fall, or, you know, we will plant these guys straight into the ground and then, you know, we'll go through winter. And then in the spring, inevitably, some of them are blooming again. And you're just surprised as heck that these guys even, you know, made it through. So I think if you can, you know, keep them watered on that porch and they're getting sunlight, there's, you know, there's definitely a chance that they're going to make it through, even if they get the soil frozen a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good luck. I hope that that works for you. I think, have a caller coming in right now, so we're going to go straight to Dennis. Dennis, you're on the line.
What's the best way to take care of a Christmas cactus?
Christmas cactus.
Next year?
Yeah,
I'll take this off the line if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you.
Again, this is a great question. I was just with a client at Chesterfield Valley Nursery the other day. Yesterday, in fact, and the only plant that he bought was this giant Christmas cactus. It was hanging. It was beautiful. Beautiful pink, bright pink color. Mine is blooming right now. It started blooming right before Thanksgiving, and it's doing really great. So, you know, we talk about these guys all the time. It's don't let it deceive you. You know, Christmas cactus, the name cactus is in the name, but it's not like a typical cactus where you don't need to water about once a month. These guys are more of a forest cactus, so they do need more water than your typical cactus would need. So, you know, once a week, maybe you're going to check those things, make sure they're not drying out. And then really there's not much else that you need to do. Some people will fertilize them. I have to be honest with you. I have never fertilized mine a single time, and it is beautiful and growing and happy in its little pot. But one of the great things about these guys is that very little care, they're going to bloom and do their thing. And then they will, you know, from time to time, sporadically, rebloom on you throughout the year, but just keeping them consistently watered, not letting them dry out for too long, and making sure that you have them in a pot that drains, so it's not sitting in water all the time. A lot of people like to propagate throughout the year. It's easy to kind of twist off one of those segments and keep that in water until it grows, or use some rooting hormone to get those rerooted in. But not a lot to do with those, Dennis. Just keep them watered. Up next, we're going to go to George. George, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Michelle. I have a question about bulbs.
Yeah.
Planting them in my yard. I know with crocuses, I can plant them in and not have to worry about cutting them, you know, with the yard, because they'll die back.
Sure.
Probably the same thing with tulips.
Mm-hmm.
Daffodils, I'm unsure of. And then as a follow-up question, I've seen people or heard that you can plant them like in the same hole. You go crocus, tulip, daffodil. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend that or not?
Yeah, you can. I think for me, I like to do, if I'm going to do something in all in one one hole. I'm going to make my hole a little bit bigger and maybe offset them. And then you make sure you do it in the order of the depth that they like to be planted, right? So each bulb has a depth that they prefer to be planted. So if your tulip is, you know, 6 or 8 inches or daffodil, and then your tulip, and then your crocus, you can plant them. But I would offset them a little so they have room to grow straight up out of the ground. And then as far as putting them, you're saying you're wanting to put them in your lawn areas?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the same thing with all of those, is that, you know, where they're going to grow up in your lawn, and then as they kind of die back or start to go dormant, you could just mow over them like you would everything else, and they should come back. Now, tulips are not always reliable for a lot of years. Some people will plant a tulip, and they always say, oh, my tulips come back every year. And that's great. Some varieties will come back reliably for people. Some tulips will do 1 or 2 seasons, and then it will just keep sending up the leaves and then never bloom. So that is common with a tulip for that to happen. But again, you could just, if they're in your grass, you could just mow over them when they're done.
How about with the daffodils?
Same thing. Yeah. Same thing with the daffodils. Daffodils really don't care. No, that we always say wait till things start yellowing, and that is the best advice before you cut them back. But daffodils are just super hardy and super easy, and they don't really care.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, George. Thanks for that question, and thanks for all the questions from today. I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that are going on around town, which there are so many things going on. There's so many, you know, like winter markets and things like that. I have seen a ton going on. Rolling Ridge and Webster Groves is having a customer appreciation and holiday marketplace event happening tomorrow at their location. I think it's from like 10 to 3. I think I'm going to try to stop by that one. They have all kinds of local vendors that are going to be there. Santa's going to be there. Raffles and live music. But there's so many of our local nurseries and garden centers this time of year that are having events. And, you know, I say this often, I think it's so important for us to support all of these guys, especially going into winter, because our local nurseries and greenhouses, things slow down for a lot of them in the winter. And so if we can support them now and, you know, try to shop locally, that's really great if we can do it. My local, the closest one that I stop by all the time, Parkview Gardens, are having, they're in St. Charles, they're having a holiday open house today. And they grow their own poinsettias there, and they're beautiful. So stop by there. But one of the things that's really cool that's happening now, if you guys, I'm sure if you're gardeners, you know about it, you know about everything that's happening at Mobot, but the Garden Glow is happening there at Mobot in the evening, and there's millions and millions of lights that you can walk around the garden and check that out. So buy your tickets for that. Mobot also has this really cool holiday flower and train show that's happening right now, and it goes through the 3rd of January. So if you're not into walking around outside in the cold, that's one that is indoors. And then another one, you know, a lot of things have been happening in the last few weeks about donating to pantries and things like that. But Urban League here in St. Louis is also doing a canned food drive. They're calling it Stuff the Bus. They have a big, giant Vandalia Van Lines bus. And they are asking people to drop off the things that they need. There's a list on their website and a list on their Facebook and social media pages on what they would like for you to bring. So check that out, ulstl.com. Help out with that drive. If you guys want to get a hold of me, I'm at pointerlandscape.com or on Instagram or Facebook at stlplantnerd. Thanks for talking to us today, guys. It's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.